Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Oops, sorry, I messed up. What to do with failure? Let's talk about it. Hey, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. It is so good to have you here with us. My name is Campbell, and in the studio, I have my co-host with me. Hey, Linda.
Hey, Campbell. Hey, everyone. It is great to be here.
All right. So today, we are on our psychology article for this month. And what are we talking about this day today, Linda?
Well, we're talking about something called failure.
My favorite topic. Yeah. Just kidding.
Yeah, but I mean, we all encounter failure, but this article is showing us a different way to look at failure.
Yeah.
Don't look at it in a negative way, which is how we usually look at failure.
Yeah.
As our title says, use failure as a tool.
Yeah. How do you use failure as a tool? That's a really good question, because as you said, most of us have a negative connotation when it comes to failure, right? We think it's a bad thing to mess up, as we say.
We don't want to mess up, right? We want to get things right the first time.
Yeah.
But that isn't possible.
It's
most of the
possible.
Time, it isn't.
Yeah. Especially since, you know, especially if it's something you've never done before, you know, it's practically impossible to get it right the first time.
Exactly.
And
so failure is inevitable. Like, it's going to happen. Like,
yeah.
It will happen.
And actually, you know, the thing is, when we avoid failure and we try not to fail, we end up paralyzed because we end up not doing anything because we don't want to make a mistake.
Exactly.
But, and that can actually lead to feeling stuck and feeling like you're not making any progress.
Right. That definitely holds us back. Let's say, like with language learning.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of students, including me, I don't want to say something because I think I'll make a mistake.
Right.
But you actually need to say it, make the mistake, and then you learn from it.
Right.
Like the classmates that I had when learning Chinese, the ones who were always talking, like no matter how many mistakes they were saying, like they learn the fastest because they would learn from their mistakes.
Yeah. Why do you think we have this negative connotation with failure? Because as babies, you know, babies fail all the time, right? Like, you know, no one learns to walk without falling, you know? And, you know, when babies mess up and they say the wrong things or they speak in a funny way, everybody thinks it's cute. So then at what point do we start having this negative connotation with failure?
Yeah. I suppose as we get older, the expectations are to not keep falling.
Yeah.
You know, like if you keep falling, if the child is, you know, five and they still haven't, you know, quite mastered walking, then okay, there probably is a main reason, a legitimate reason for that. But it becomes, I guess, less acceptable because as adults, we don't want to fall.
Right.
Like when if we fall, oh, that is a terrible mistake.
Yeah.
Like if we physically fall.
Yeah.
And also it hurts a lot more as you get older.
Yeah.
So yeah, at some point, after the baby stage, after the toddler stage, infant stage, like failure becomes less acceptable in the eyes of people.
And I think also, you know, growing up, as, you know, even the best parents sometimes will, like, I do my best to love my girls, my daughters, but, you know, sometimes I will still yell at them, you know, when they mess up, right? And as much as I don't want to, sometimes
it's just human nature, you know?
So it's I think we kind of become afraid of getting in trouble almost, right? And we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. All right. Well, without further ado, let's get into our lesson. We're going to start with our title, Failure as a Tool.
Failure as a Tool. Change your perspective on failure. Most people think of wisdom as an arrival. You accumulate enough experience or perspective, then you get there. You become the sage and stop making mistakes. They've got it completely backward. The wisest or smartest people I know are still making mistakes. They're just much better at noticing them. sitting with them, and learning from them. Let's never speak of this again is not a thing for them. Wisdom is a practice, and failure is the training.
All right, very short section there, but packed with lots to talk about. First of all, who was reading that? That's such a beautiful voice.
That happens to be me.
Thanks. Yes, good job, Linda. You know, the funny thing is, you know, you and I, we split the readings, mm-hmm. right? And the thing is, as we're reading, I don't think there is one time you can get through the whole article without making a mistake.
That is very true. Sometimes we make a lot of mistakes.
Literally, like almost every other sentence, right?
Yeah, thankfully, we have a great engineer, Ginger, yes. who corrects our mistakes, makes it sound like we
yes,
read
that
very
we are
smoothly.
Flawless, yes. but we are far from flawless, right? Okay, so let's talk about our article, Failure as a Tool. So a tool is just something you use to achieve something, right? And so how can we use failure as a way to achieve something? Well, our deck says change your perspective on failure. And we were talking a little bit about that. You know, how do we reframe failure? Mm-hmm. All right. Our first sentence here says, most people think of wisdom as an arrival. What does that mean exactly?
So as you age, as you get older, you accumulate wisdom from your life experiences.
Right.
So I think we tend to think of it, okay, I've reached this age, you know, I'm wise.
Yes.
I've arrived here.
Yes.
So I have things all worked out. You know, I probably don't need to learn that much
right.
anymore.
Yeah. And I guess the idea, if we look at the next sentence, it says you accumulate enough experience or perspective, then you get there. So when you know enough, when you have enough experience or you've done enough, then you're going to achieve this wisdom, mm-hmm. right? And then you become the sage or the expert on something, right?
Yeah.
And you stop making mistakes. But that's never the case.
No, that's not true at all. Like, as humans, we will always make mistakes. That's just part of our nature. Like, we're not perfect, even if we want to think of ourselves as perfect.
Right.
Nobody is perfect.
Right. And the truth is, you know, there's different mindsets, right? There's the fixed mindset and then there's the growth mindset. The fixed mindset says, you know, I am set in my ways. There's only a certain amount of things that I can learn, and how I am is how I will always be. That's the fixed mindset, right? But the growth mindset is I can learn, I can grow, I can gain experience, and I can become better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, in essence, what we're talking about today, is that failure can be something that you use to help you get better.
Yes.
Right? And in fact, that's what the next section says. The wisest or smartest people that this author knows, they're still making mistakes.
Right. And the author is saying, like, we should be in that growth state. We should always be in that growth state because we will never get to a point where we don't need to learn
right.
anything new
yeah.
or we're not making mistakes.
Yeah.
So it's always having that mindset that, okay, I can always grow.
Yeah.
And that is how you become wiser.
Right. And actually embracing it, right? And just enjoying actually even making mistakes. As the article says, they're much better at noticing them. So
mm-hmm.
these wise people, they're still making mistakes. It's not that because they're wise, they never make mistakes. They still make mistakes, but they're better at catching the mistakes.
Right, or recognizing
yes.
their mistakes.
Yeah.
Because something, quality of immaturity or not being wise
yeah.
is arrogance, like
right.
not being able to recognize your mistakes and
yeah.
just keep doing it the same way.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's a next interesting phrase here, sitting with them. What does that mean to sit with?
Yeah. It's not literally sitting. I mean, you can be sitting,
when yes.
when you're thinking about or contemplating
right.
your mistakes, but just being able to think about it, accept it,
right.
Not push it away
right.
or not be in denial.
And just kind of think it over and ponder it and just kind of wrestle with it, right? And just kind of figure out what you did and what maybe you could do better,
mm-hmm,
right? And
mm-hmm.
so sitting with them and learning from them the mistakes. And then there's a quote here, let's never speak of this again is not a thing for them,
no.
right? So what is that referring to?
So that is being in denial of your mistakes or not wanting to sit with them, not wanting to think about it. Okay, well, it's done. Like, I don't want to think about it. Right. I don't want to ponder, to consider what I could do better or what, you know, I did wrong so that I can improve.
Yeah.
That isn't a sign of growth.
Right. Yeah. So not acknowledging it, right? And, you know, there's an English phrase, sweeping it under the rug, right? So you just kind of want to hide it or just kind of ignore it or pretend it never happened.
Yeah. And that's part of human nature too. Mm. Like we just, if we do something wrong, we don't, can you just forget about that? You know, we don't want to bring attention to it.
Yeah.
So it probably is a shift for a lot of us, you know? That's why we want to change this perspective that you want a failure. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing.
It's not
a bad thing. You can talk about it.
Yeah.
Like maybe not dwell on it too much.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
But acknowledge it.
Yeah. And I think there was a big shift for me when my, you know, as a parent, when my daughter, because, you know, I, not to toot my own horn, but I did pretty well in school, right? Mm-hmm. So when my kids brought bad grades, you know, or, you know, maybe not even a bad grade, right? So let's say she got a 98 on her English test. That's a pretty good grade.
But it's not 100.
It's not 100. And I wasn't like, where's the 100? But I was like, oh, it's too bad. You know, if you had just studied a little bit more, you could have, like, you just missed that one. You could have gotten the 100, right? But then a voice inside my head said, actually, no, it's not too bad because she's not taking this test to take the test. She's taking the test so that she can see what she knows, right? And the more important thing is not whether she got the 100, but whether she learned the material.
Yeah.
And truth is, she will never forget for the rest of her life that one word that she misspelled, right? Because, oh, man, like that mistake, that sticks with her, right? And for the rest of her life, she's going to remember how to spell that word because she made that mistake, right? And then for me, I was like, so actually it's not too bad.
Right, because she's learning from that.
So more importantly, she learned how to spell that word, right? So yeah, you know, it would be great to get the 100, but honestly, like, who cares, right?
Yeah.
You know, when she's our age, does it matter that she got 100 in fourth grade?
She'll forget about that score. But if you made a big deal out of it and you maybe, you know, made her feel bad for getting a 98 instead of 100, she would probably remember that feeling, oh, my father is disappointed in me.
Right.
And so I think that, like, I have that in me too. We just have this high achievement. And maybe it's because we're
Asian.
Yes, that's part of the reason. Although my parents were not very Asian.
Yes.
I think I just had an Asian tiger mom inside of me that, you know, made me
want
to.
There's something about us Asians,
So we kind of have to
balance it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There
not
needs to
give
be
into
a balance.
That so
I think it's there's a strength in that, right? There's a strength in wanting to achieve and wanting to have good accomplishments, but at the same time, allowing ourselves grace and also allowing our kids to have grace as well, and to understand that, you know, it's all a process of learning, right?
It
is all a process of learning. So it says here, the last sentence of this section, wisdom is a practice and failure is the training.
Yeah, so that is a great way to look at it. Look at it, failure, it is training to do better, to gain this wisdom.
Yeah, and wisdom is not a destination. Wisdom is not something to just achieve. It's a practice. It's something that we need to apply every day, right? Just like exercise.
Yeah.
And failure is the training. Like it's almost like the weights that we use.
Yeah, that is a great analogy.
In the gym.
Because when you're doing fitness, you don't stop at a certain level. You keep improving. You keep going.
Yes. And you are a perfect person to speak on that because you are one of the most athletic and active people that I know. All right. Let's continue with the next section here. We'll start where it says, experience alone is not enough.
Experience alone is not enough. You can accumulate all the experiences in life and still deflect, rationalize, or tell yourself a comforting story in your head. Some people even think of their mistakes as someone else's fault. Plenty of people do exactly that. They've been around for decades, and they're no wiser than they were at 20. They've become more confident in their bad habits. What separates wisdom from mere experience is whether you've processed what happened, asked the uncomfortable questions, and reflected on what could be done better or the path not taken.
So experience alone is not enough. It's not enough that you've gone through the different things that you've gone through. You have to learn from them. Right?
Exactly.
So this first paragraph says you can accumulate all the experiences in life and still deflect, rationalize, or tell yourself a comforting story in your head. Some people even think of their mistakes as someone else's fault. Do you think this is true?
Very much so, yes. And I think it is human nature to tend to do this, right?
Yeah.
When something bad happens, when we fail, we don't want to acknowledge it or we deflect it, right? We, it's not my fault.
Yeah.
It's somebody else's fault.
Yeah.
Or we try to rationalize, make up an excuse for it, explain it away.
Right.
Oh, it wasn't really that bad, or it wasn't, you know, my fault because of this and this and this.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you go all the way back to the beginning, right, in the Bible, you think about Adam and Eve and when God told them not to eat of that tree, you know, and then, you know, they still ate it. And then Adam goes, it's the woman. And then the woman, and then Eve goes, it's the snake, you know, and they blame and they deflect.
Yeah.
Right?
It's this process of passing down the blame, like finding someone else to take the fall.
Right. There's an English term we have is called gaslighting, right? Mm-hmm. Where you kind of like something happens and maybe you make a mistake, but then you try to pass it on and you try to make it feel like it's the other person's problem.
Yes. Make the other person believe it's their problem.
Yeah.
Like they did it.
You're the one that caused me to do this, you know, so it's your fault, right? And then, you know, and it just for some reason in society, there's a lot of victims, right? Like people just like to play the victim.
Yes, there is that victim mentality that is very prevalent in our society.
Yeah. So as it says here, plenty of people do exactly that. Now, this next sentence is very interesting. It says they've been around for decades and they're no wiser than they were at 20, right?
Yeah.
So a decade is 10 years. So decades probably. They're in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, however, right? However old they are, but they're no wiser than they were at 20. And why is that?
And that's very unfortunate. That's because they didn't learn from their mistakes, right? They were arrogant. They didn't want to acknowledge what they did wrong. They thought, okay, well, a lot of 20-year-olds are like that, you know, because you're young.
Right.
You're, you know, you think that like you're invincible. You can do anything.
Right. And but you think you know everything.
Yeah. But you grow out of it. That's maturity. You grow out of it. And unfortunately, some people don't. They get stuck in that immaturity because, you know, they think they know it all.
Mm-hmm. And they become more confident in their bad habits, meaning that they feel like, well, this is just how I am. And this is, everybody should just accept me for me, right? Rather than acknowledging that, you know, they need to do better. And so it says here, what separates wisdom from mere experience is whether you've processed what happened, asked the uncomfortable questions, and reflected on what could be done better or the path not taken, right? And so this is a long sentence to describe what we were talking about earlier, sitting with your mistakes.
Yes. And being able to, you know, look at it, analyze it, and see what you could do better.
Right.
Or even the path not taken. Oh, I could have taken this route.
Yes.
Not to dwell on it, but you know, consider those options for the next time.
Yeah.
So you know you have this option or it could be better.
Right. And the flip side of this, I think, is, you know, as you were talking, came to mind is that some people kind of do the opposite. They do sit with their problems, but they end up like dwelling on them.
Too much, yes.
Too much, right? And they end up beating themselves up and kind of getting stuck in that way as well.
We don't want you to do that.
No, we don't want you to do that. We want you to think about it, but use it as a tool. Okay, so yes, I messed up, but don't get down on yourself about it, right? Mm-hmm. Don't get depressed about it. Acknowledge the mistake.
And move on.
And move on, right?
With that wisdom, with that knowledge of that you gained.
Right. And that's kind of the grace of life, right, is that we don't die from our mistakes, but if we don't learn from the mistakes, you know, it's not that we fail, like we get a bad grade. We just get to take the test again and again and again and again until we learn. Yeah.
Or it develops into, like earlier in the passage, into bad habits.
Yes.
And then when you're stuck in this bad habit, it's really hard to break out of it.
Yes, yes. All right, we have one last section here, so let's finish up the article and then we can talk more about it.
data for your next experience. Think of failures as experiments. An experiment has a hypothesis, a result, and the result is just information, not proof that you shouldn't have tried. It's just data for your next experience. There's a reason people keep quoting Thomas Edison. When his thousands of attempts to make a light bulb failed, he reportedly said he'd found thousands of ways that didn't work. That mindset is rare. Most of us run one experiment, get a bad result, and conclude, I'm just not good at this. We quit. We protect ourselves from the next failure by avoiding the next attempt. But wisdom accumulates the other way. It builds up through iteration. Try, fail, adjust, try again. Playwright and poet Samuel Beckett said, ever tried, ever failed, no matter, try again, fail better. The people I most respect, those who inspire my work, are the ones who kept going after they got it wrong and changed something every time. The courage to fail well and recover better is a skill.
All right, so we started this article talking about changing our perspective on failure, so changing the way we look at failure. So how should we look at failure? Well, this section says we need to look at it as data for our next experience, right? So What does the author tell us to think of failures as?
Think of them as experiments, as if you're doing experiments. Experiment has a hypothesis, right? You have a theory on what could happen, right? You try it out, you get a result, and that result is information. That's the data that you use. Go, it worked or it didn't.
Right.
And if it didn't or not, that's all data that you can use.
Yeah, and it's not proof that you shouldn't have tried.
Exactly.
Right. Another analogy I often think of is, you know, you're playing a video game, right? And certain video games have levels. And the easier ones you can get through maybe the first time. But the harder ones, it takes a couple of tries. And you kind of learn each time you do it and you adjust and you get better, right? And, you know, and you're not going to be like, oh, I messed up. I shouldn't have played this game.
Right.
Right.
Right. It's you'll keep going because you want to improve.
Yeah.
And you'll do better the next time.
Exactly. So I love this next sentence here. It says, it's just data for your next experience. So looking at failure as, okay, I'm collecting information, right? And there's a famous story with Thomas Edison when he was inventing the light bulb, right?
Yeah. He couldn't do it in one try or two tries. It took thousands of tries, thousands of attempts to make the light bulb. And he thought of them not as failures, but just as ways that didn't work.
Right.
Like he looked at it, he had the right perspective looking at failure. Because if he didn't continue, if he didn't go through, collect all that data from these failures or these missed experiences, then he wouldn't have gotten to his results and the success of creating light bulb.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, think about it. If he, you know, literally thousands, right? Not one, not two, not three, not even 100, like thousands, okay? Can you imagine if he, because that's what most of us do. We try it maybe once, two times, okay? The more, you know, stronger people, maybe like they'll try 10 times. Mm-hmm. Okay. Imagine if after the 10th time, Edison just like, you know what? Forget it. This is not going to work. Right. It's never going to work. We'd still be sitting in darkness. Right. So he didn't look at it as failure. Mm-hmm. He didn't look at it as, oh, this is never going to work. He looked at it as data, right?
Yeah.
Data where it was just, nope, this thing doesn't work. Oh, this doesn't think. Let me just keep trying until I find something that does work.
Exactly. He had to accumulate all of this data in order to succeed.
And that all became knowledge that, you know, benefited a lot of people in the future.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So most of us run one experiment. That's kind of what we were talking about. Get a bad result and conclude, I'm not good at this. This would be like a baby, like, trying to walk and falling and be like, you know what, mom and dad?
Yeah.
I don't know if this walking thing is for me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they can't do that.
Right? So we quit. And so we quit too early, okay? Mm-hmm. And we protect ourselves from the next failure by avoiding the next attempt.
Yes, and this is something I think that is, again, in our nature, because we don't want to feel that negative feeling of not succeeding.
Right.
We want to protect ourselves, so then we end up not continuing to try.
Right, and you know, the internet is filled with videos of these Olympic athletes that try and try and try, and they fall and they get hurt, but they get up and they try again. And that's what we're talking about when we use the word iteration, right? That's a great word. Can you explain it?
Yes, so iteration is a version. So you have to go through multiple versions or iterations of something to get it right.
Mm.
So if you iterate something, you do it again and again.
Right, and when you do it again and again, you learn. Try, fail, adjust, try again, right? And the playwright, or someone who writes plays, Samuel Beckett, I love this quote. Can you read it again?
Ever tried, ever failed, no matter. Try again, fail better. Nobody has ever told me to fail better, but that's how we need to look at it, right?
Because
experiment better, get more experience, right? Collect better data.
Yeah, and just do it again. Again, though, you have to make sure that you are changing, right? Because the definition of insanity is that you keep doing the same thing, hoping to get a different result, and that will never happen. So the thing is, it's okay to make mistakes, but try not to make the same mistake twice. Once you've made the mistake, learn, get up and try again and do something again, right? And he ends this section saying, the people I most respect, those who inspire my work, are the ones who kept going after they got it wrong and changed something every time. I think this is the key.
Yes.
What do you think?
It is. Because you learn from your mistake and then you improve upon that. And the last sentence is, the courage to fail well and recover better is a skill. So in order to gain skills, we have to practice.
Yeah.
You don't pick it up the first time.
Right.
So we need to have this courage to fail well.
Yeah. And I think this is, as you mentioned earlier, the key to language learning as well, right? Because if you never open your mouth to speak because you're afraid of sounding foolish or making a mistake, you're never going to learn.
Exactly.
You're never going to improve, right?
So practice more, speak more, be afraid. I mean, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to make mistakes because you will learn from them.
Yes. All right. We have a lot more to discuss in this article, so make sure you join us again for part two of this article. Until then, this is Campbell.
And I'm Linda.
And we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.